I once was teaching, I was coaching somebody, and she called what she was doing building the car while she was driving it. And that's essentially what I was doing at first. And I feel like it's what a lot of us do. I was definitely building the business as I was running it. And that wasn't good. You know, it was good until it wasn't. Let's just put it that way.
If you're looking for ways to streamline your processes to develop an efficient and profitable design business, this episode is for you. Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Sarah Brennan of Sarah Lynn Brennan Interior Design, based in Waxhaw, North Carolina. In this episode, Sarah shares how she identified weaknesses in her business early on, and instead of ignoring them, tackled them head on and created a renewed seven-figure business in just 3 years. We also discuss Sarah's perspective on trading time for money, how she leverages her extended team of resources and service providers to increase efficiency within her business, and the importance of constantly adding value to your services. Before we dive into our conversation with Sarah, let's take a moment to acknowledge our sponsors. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, and a few new locations coming soon, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. And now, our conversation with Sarah Brennan. So Sarah, welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I'm so glad to be here.
Why haven't we done this sooner?
I know. I'm so excited to chat with you, and actually just recently discovered your podcast. I've been listening to your backlog, and it's great. I love it.
Thank you so much. What I love about this community is like how we're all able to connect and like refer people to each other, just like information and inspiration to one another. So I learned about you through Kate the Socialite, and then also through Luann Nogueira. So, You know, based on what both of them told me about you, I'm like, well, how come no one has introduced me sooner?
I know, likewise, both. I was actually sitting with Luann when you DM'd me, and she goes, oh my gosh, yes, you gotta go talk to him. Wonderful.
That's awesome. I love Luann. And I know that you're collaborating with her in a couple of different ways, which we'll talk about later in the podcast. But before we dig into your business and all that good stuff, let's talk about you for a second. I always like to give my guests an opportunity to introduce themselves rather than me read off some long bio. Tell us what you want us to know about you, Sarah.
Oh, well, thank you. So I'm Sarah Lynn Brennan, and I am the principal, CEO, founder, all the things, garbage taker, outer, all the things at Sarah Lynn Brennan Interiors here in Waxhaw or Weddington, North Carolina, which is right outside of Charlotte. So we're just a few minutes outside of Charlotte. I have two children, and they keep me very busy in my second day job that I always say, right? And then I also married to my husband, Mitch. He is Australian. I've had my business here for 4 years, and we hit the ground running. We started in October of 2017, pre-pandemic. when life was quite a bit different. And, you know, just really have been through the multiple phases. Each year has marked some very cool and amazing milestones, but also some great big hurdles that I've had to go through. And I'm proud to say that in my first 3 years, I became a seven-figure business. Kind of when I say hit the ground running, it really happened. COVID played into that in 2020 and also in this year, but it just really has grown a lot quicker than I ever imagined it would be. And so with that, I've learned a lot, celebrated a lot, cried a lot, like we all have, I'm sure. And I'm just excited to kind of be where I'm at. You know, I don't know how to do it any other way. I'm just proceeding through with what I think is best and learning as I go.
I love that. I love that. I mean, I think that your journey is like the definition of innovation. Just like try something. If it works, roll with it. If it doesn't work, immediately take action to fix it until you get it right, until you get a system that works for you. I know a little bit about your backstory because we got to chat a little bit last week, you and I, but I'm excited to share it with the listeners because, you know, not only are you an incredible entrepreneur and designer and design biz owner, but you do one of my favorite things, and you learn from lessons and you try new things and you apply them to your business. And I'm convinced that that is one of the things that really catapulted you to the level that you're at now. Whereas so many design professionals, I can speak honestly for myself, you know, I got stuck in a lot of ruts and I kept doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. It's easy to get trapped in the insanity wheel because of fear and because of, oh, it'll be different. And especially in design, because each client is so different. So you think you can do the same stuff with someone else and you'll get some kind of a different outcome. And sometimes you realize it's you. It's
not them. Yeah, for sure. So Sarah, how big is your team? And like, what is kind of your sweet spot with regards to design, just so we can kind of apply that to the conversation we're about to have.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we have five people that get paid, you know, through SLB on a regular basis in some way, shape, or form. Three of us are full-time, including myself. And the others have kind of different roles throughout the season of the job and depending on our workload too. So on a regular basis, you'll find three of us here at the office. And we also have great partnerships. So I've been really smart about knowing what my lane is and staying in that, and then hiring people that also have very specific and amazing skill sets that they can apply to this company. But we don't need someone who knows how to do everything. Like, we will all outsource some work, you know, for different elements of the job. And for example, we don't do cabinetry drawings, because we have a really great cabinetry partner. And so they will do those elements of the kitchens for us. And so just little things like that, that have really catapulted us and given us different opportunities, but also let somebody who really shines in a certain area of design, you know, have a spot on our team, even if it's not a full-time spot, because it doesn't usually, you know, always matter if they're an employee or if they're a partner, or if they're a contractor. The point is that you have access to them, you work well together, and you can offer that relationship to your clients.
I think that's such a good message that you don't have to bring, first of all, respecting your lane, obviously, identifying your lane and respecting it, and then bring people in to complement that. And you don't have to bring everything in-house. I think that's one of the most overwhelming things about the business of design that is misunderstood. We have so many incredible resources available to us, and they don't all have to be under one roof. We just have to be, you know, we just have to be nimble and we have to be resourceful.
Yeah. Because what I found in the beginning is I was connecting with people like a tile showroom, for example. I have a really great relationship with one here in Charlotte, and they offer free consultations and free design for, you know, building out your kitchen or your bathroom or whatever. And so they're willing to go out and measure. They're willing to, you know, provide even the install of the material inside the home. They're doing all of that with the hopes that they have a really great job that they are profitable on. And their designers kind of come with that. Well, what was happening was people were reaching out to me because they wanted to work with me and they wanted my selections, but I didn't have the full GC team behind me because I'm not a GC. So I would make a really great connection with them. And as long as the client got my ideas and my design insights on the project, we were still able to find someone to do the execution. I didn't have to hold the liability of that. I just handed it over and charged for my design time. And in the beginning, when I was just a solo, I'd do that on multiple facets. You know, I'd have my carpeting people and they'd be my partners. I'd have my kitchen people. And so you don't need to own the job. You know, so many people are like, I'm scared to sell, you know, this, that, and the other thing because I don't want the liability. Well, you can probably find a way to get around that. People are offering those services anyways. What your clients want is what you would be selecting for them. And so you can actually have both worlds and still not have that in-house.
Yes. I mean, again, such a good message. They're relying on us. I know this is a simple example, but they're relying on us for the paint color, not to paint the walls. Yes. They're relying on us for the art selection, not to hang the art. They want our specifications for plumbing and appliances, but not to install them. It's like, come on, no. Talk about lanes. Talk about knowing your lane.
Yes. I mean, and seriously, because people are like, oh, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how, like, it's okay. You know, they want, you can find great referrals for your clients and you can be a great referral source. And even if that's all you are, you know, for some elements, like on a discovery call, I may think it's not a good idea to move forward with that client, but I always tell them, let me be a resource for you. Let me share everyone I know so I can connect you to those people. And that way they still got value out of connecting with me. And a discovery call is no cost. You know, we both just put in our time. So even time is an investment, you know, especially nowadays, we're all super busy. If you're going to carve out 30 minutes of your day to talk to me, because we may be a potential fit, you know, down the road for design, if I find out we're not, I'm still going to say thank you and pass on some value by sharing my resources on a call.
For sure. We're still going to point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
Was that one of the things that you learned maybe in your first few years? I know we have a couple of examples. Let's talk about like some of the key things that you learned in the first few years that you identified and said, hey, this is not working and this has to change if I want to scale at the rate, well, that you have, maybe not that you envisioned, although we should all envision scaling quickly, but it sounds like it really snuck up on you, which is a great, great thing. But what are some of those lessons like that really kind of opened your eyes about the business of design?
Yeah, I think I really got stuck in thinking about my time and how valuable it was versus finding ways to provide value outside of just showing up. And so I kind of learned that like, A lot of my coaching and a lot of podcasts I was listening to like a couple of years ago, were talking about just like, my time is valuable. My time is valuable. And so that's kind of what we sell is, you know, the experience we bring to the table. What I learned is that my clients didn't really care about what I did with my time unless it was to benefit them and their project, unless it was to serve them. Then they didn't care whether I had brought 5 years of experience to the table or 2 minutes of years of experience to the table. And so what I learned is being able to provide value and show your value in the form of a deliverable, in the form of a resource, in the form of a referral, in the form of a way where they actually gained something by meeting with me, talking with me, hiring me, and it was tangible, or they kind of felt like it could be tangible, whether that is like a referral source or something like that, that's the way that I could really start charging differently and start charging more. I don't like it when people say, you know, my time is valuable. You owe me for coming here today. Like for me, when I do a consult, I do a paid consult, but they're also going to get, you know, deliverable on the back end of that. And they're going to be different things than if I did an unpaid consult. So I think learning early on that the deliverable and the value behind what you're going to sell is really, really important. And it's not just simply like, you know, an exchange of hours and time and doing simple math. You know, people want what you're buying when they know they're going to be influenced by, when they're going to be affected by it, when it's going to be a positive experience, that's why you buy something.
Yeah, I think that that's a super valid point, because one of the conversations that the design community has been having amongst ourselves for years, if not longer, is that whole debate about, do I charge for that consultation or do I not? And, you know, I have my own opinions, but I think that if you're going to show up, and if you're not really going to provide anything, but it's really just an opportunity to get to know each other and try to establish a fit in that regard, then sure, maybe there doesn't need to be a price tag attached to it. But if there's a price tag attached to it, I think you better deliver more than just a conversation. I agree yeah. with you. You really got to leave them with something tangible so that they understand the value of that hour, and mm-hmm. it shows them what's to come, right?
Yes. Yes. 100%. That's what I think is the differentiator there. And so if I rarely go on a consult that's not paid, but if for some reason I get a request for it every now and then I do, or sometimes even on commercial jobs, they don't want to pay for a consult because there's like a bidding process happening. So when I go on an unpaid consult, it's primarily just a meet and greet. It's kind of the way I look at it is like a job interview. If I had a job interview to work at Starbucks, I'd never expect them to pay me to show up to interview for their job. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. I want the opportunity. So therefore, I'm going to take the opportunity, give you my best, and hope that you like me while I'm with you. And so that's one way to look at it. And then if you have a paid consultation, to me, it means that we're already jumping into the design process and we're taking that first step. We're taking that first date is what I like to call it, so that we can make sure that we're in this for the long run. And we actually do want to jump into a full service project and get married is what I like to call it.
Right.
But you know, if I was going to simply just go see them for a meet and greet, we'd sit and we'd talk and we'd chat. I'd make leave them, you know, some information about me and my firm and our process, and then I'd go. Yeah. And then when they've chosen me, then I'll come back and do a lot of the things that would be done in that paid consult. But that's because they decided they wanted to move forward with that.
Right. What about processes and procedures? How did you dial those in? And what was your trial and error process like with regards to processes and procedures when you were developing your business? Because that seems to be like the number one sticking point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was coaching somebody and she called what she was doing building the car while she was driving it. And that's essentially what I was doing at first. And I feel like it's what a lot of us do. I was definitely building the business as I was running it. And that wasn't good. You know, it was good until it wasn't. Let's just put it that way. I didn't have any sort of timelines. I didn't have any deadlines. I didn't have any efficiencies. I didn't have a good workflow. So when I'd meet with a client, I'd be so excited to be hired that I was like, okay, this is going to be great. Here's what we're going to do. But then I would get another one and maybe another one. And then I'd start to get lost and I'd start to drown. And then I would meet with them and I wouldn't have my best foot forward. You know, it just really started to feel like the clients were running the show, because they'd say to me, well, when is this happening? When is this happening? And I'd say, oh my gosh, yeah, I'll get that to you. And so at that time I was also charging hourly. So I think, you know, when you have that value mindset backwards, you're like, oh, I'll charge you for my time and I'll only work on you when I have the time. Whereas if you lead with your deliverables and you lead with, you know, the process, you know, you've got to get it done in a certain amount of time in order to stay profitable and in order to keep the train moving along. So what I essentially did was had a really not so great first year in business. And that really opened my eyes. And I was making less as what I was making as a teacher here in North Carolina. So long story short, I have my master's in education. I used to be a middle school science teacher before I was a designer. And so I was making less than what I was doing as a teacher. And I thought, oh my gosh, this makes no sense. And in North Carolina, teachers don't get paid that well. So it was kind of like, this is not a good career move if I'm going to do this. And so I had this moment at the end of my first year. I was like, I'm going to either do this the way I feel like it should be done, or I'm going to stop because this is, I just can't do this. So I ended up kind of getting out a bunch of notebooks that I'd had over the span of the year that I was in business. And I kept writing things down every time I'd make a mistake, or every time I had a thought, or every time I learned something on a podcast such as yours, I'd say like, you know, do this. And I had these notebooks and with all these thoughts and edits that I wish I'd made. And so I got them out. And then I also started to write down all of the processes that I thought I had. So I thought I had this like 10-step process that went from start to finish. What I didn't realize is I didn't have any internal sub processes to make sure each one of those steps got done on the back end. So I took out my notebooks and I wrote down everything. And then I started to highlight. And I started to highlight in pink, you know, this is probably like in the beginning intake process. And these are all the notes that I had for that. Then I did, you know, design process in a different color. And then I did, you know, wrapping up an install in like blue or something. And so I did this. I sat at Starbucks one day and I just did this. And I was like, all right, now I have this sort of idea, this color-coded workflow of how this is going to work. So I started to type out, you know, a package that I was going to sell on my website from start to finish. And I was like, here's the things that you're going to get when you buy this $5,000 design package. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know it, I put it up on my website. I'm like, okay, that looks good. You know, still not really like super planned out, but that was better than what I had. Wouldn't you know it, like a week later, someone calls and they're like, hey, so if you do one room for me, it's 5,000. I was like, yeah. And they're like, so if you do two, it'd be 10. And I was like, yeah. They're like, all right, I'll do it. And I was like, what? I just put that up last week. Did you know that?
And they probably didn't even have a whole bunch of questions because they just read how you're going to do it.
Yes. Yes. And so I was like, holy moly, like, okay, this is how we're doing it. So I just followed that checklist that I'd published on my website, sold it for 10 grand and was like, okay, this is what we're doing. And so over time, obviously I kept refining, I created, you know, internal process for each external step. So when a client sees project kickoff meeting, that means like 20 things happen for us to get to that point to be ready for project kickoff meeting. But all they see is, yay, we're signing today. You know, then the next step is like idea session and measuring. So, you know, what needs to happen, who needs to be scheduled to do all that stuff. And then, you know, now we're to the point where at project kickoff meeting, when we get started, we can project the dates for every meeting we're going to have. Mm-hmm. We can project, you know, we put it on your calendar that day. Everything is pre-planned. So from a cash flow perspective, now when we have, you know, 20 plus clients coming through our door all the time, I can see, you know, if we're over capacity this week, we're going to have to make somebody's start date, you know, 2 weeks later or something. I can see how this train is going to roll. And that has, that's been what's allowed me to skyrocket, was just to be able to see, you know, here's my capacity. If I have more work, I need to hire. If I don't, here's where we're at. And here's what our potential is, because I can see how long it's going to take us to do all these things.
Right. I love that. I love that. And in case you know this, because you just said it and you developed it, but just for the listeners, just so that they understand, and what I just wrote down while you were saying that is that you already had the goals in mind. You just needed to document the steps on how to achieve them. That's that back end internal process. So, and I think that we all have the big picture in mind. It's those internal steps in order to achieve that. And those are steps that are valuable and they're critical to us and our business. The client doesn't need to know all of that. They don't need to know how the watch is made. They just want to know what time it is. And so you answer that question on the website by providing them that package. And which leads to my next point is communication. I think one of the biggest things you did is you actually communicated your process to the client, because you can spin your wheels all day long, all month long, all year long, and come up with these incredible processes. But until that's communicated to the client in such a way to where they understand it and it instills trust in you and your business so that they can move forward, it really, that cycle's not complete.
No, yeah. Well, and I think it made design a little more approachable too, because for a long time, I think design was only for the extreme luxury homeowner. You know, I never knew anyone in my lifetime that hired a designer, because honestly, I didn't know what they did. I didn't know that the profession existed, to be honest. I'm from a really, really small town in Pennsylvania, and there were no designers there. I don't even know if there was a decorator in our town. There was a little cute home shop, and that's as far as we got. But I felt like, you know, if somebody wanted to hire me, they'd need to know what it would be like and what I would do in order for them to understand if what I was charging was worth it or not, you know. And for some people it is, and for some people it's not. And I think the best way to know that is just to be able to communicate it and put it out there, what you're getting, so that they can make that call on their own. And I always like to say I take volunteers, not hostages. So I'm not dragging anybody in here to work with me. I don't want to beg you for your business. You know, I want you to be excited about it. So I want you to volunteer to join and work with us and not, you know, feel like, oh man, I guess I have to. And so that's why I like to share the whole process up in the beginning so they know what they're getting into.
I love that. Volunteers, not hostages. You have so many good ones. I keep writing them down, like building the car while you were driving it. I mean, if you don't make t-shirts, Sarah, I'm going to, so maybe we should collaborate.
I've got really good one-liners. I was a middle school teacher, so they're easy to remember.
Oh my gosh. That's probably that's a whole other podcast in itself.
That is a whole other podcast.
You said one more thing that resonated with me, and you talked about kind of having that ability to establish that timeline kind of right out of the gate and begin to create, you know, milestones for the project, you know, and I think that that is so important. And I think that it's something that every designer should strive for. Again, I always say that I'm my own best point of reference, and I spend more time talking about the things that I did wrong than the things I did right, because I learned more from them. And mm-hmm. this is definitely one of those things where mm-hmm. I found myself in this cycle where I was waiting for the builder to call. I was waiting for the client to call. I was waiting for somebody to call with the next thing, with the next fire or the next question or the next deadline. And everything changed the moment that we switched that dynamic and we were initiating that call, because suddenly we were in control.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good feeling too, because it doesn't feel good to be on your heels. You know, it doesn't feel good to get caught off guard and to wonder. I always, I call that a mental load. So I feel like your mental load gets really, really heavy if you don't have an action plan. And in my vision of that, if you can just sort of imagine, it's like this tornado that's swirling around, and it's got like my kids' activities. It's got my client emails that I was supposed to send, and the lampshade and the couch cushions and all the things that we're doing is all swirling. And when I can take it out and literally put it on paper, I lighten that mental load. And so I am my best when I think we all have like this scale that we have this little bit of like, we like the little bit of stress because it makes us, you know, work hard and it makes us, you know, kind of push it. So we're a little bit of a glutton for the punishment sometimes, but it's what us as entrepreneurs kind of crave. Yep. But then I think there's this other side that just wants to be free. And that's the other side of entrepreneurship that's like, well, you know, you stepped into it, now you own it all and you get a little bit less freedom. So you have to find that one spot that feels good for you. Everyone's got like a different weight their mental load can carry. But I know that if mine's too crazy, I become crazy. And so I need to be able to take things out of that swirling tornado and place them in a certain piece of paper on a place in my process so that I can be my best self in the chaotic life we live as designers.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. And you're right. Everybody does have a threshold. And I think it's important for every entrepreneur to kind of identify that and establish that within themselves and their business, because you're right. Like, we all love a challenge. That's why we're entrepreneurs, but like, nobody likes overwhelm. Like, once you cross that line, it just becomes, you know, that tornado becomes crazy. crazy. I love that tornado. It's so funny. Like you said, we're thinking of so many things at once. Like if anyone ever stopped us at the moment and said, does your husband ever say, honey, what are you thinking about? And you're like, ah, a tassel fringe is what I'm thinking about right now.
Yes.
I always tell people, don't ever ask me what I'm thinking about.
Oh my gosh. I would never stop. I just like keep going. They'd be like, never mind. I don't want to know anymore.
They don't get it.
Yeah. My team knows my love language is talking, and it's just, I think because I'm pulling from the 18 billion ideas that are flying around in my head at any old time.
So Sarah, what excites me about you, and the list is endless, is that you have created a way, you have created a side lane within your business. You've made time for the design community to share this information and coach and partner with people like Luann Nygaard, for example, to really kind of share your processes to help other designers. Maybe because you're a teacher by nature, but you know, what made you decide, you know, I'm going to continue to teach as I learn and grow my business?
Yeah, well, it's something that's everyone did to me, you know, when I was first starting. It just, I really knew nothing. I, you know, some people I talk to, they're like, well, my husband does that. He's an architect or he's a builder. So I naturally, you know, stepped in as his designer. Or, you know, you grow up with somebody like-minded that you can share that vision together. My husband does medical sales and I was a teacher. Like, we are not design oriented or build or anything like that. So I did this out of passion, and so many people guided me from the business side, from the design side. High Point Market was just like completely mind-blowing experience because that's where all my people are. And so it was so wonderful to find, you know, like-minded community there at such a great event like that. And everybody was just so eager to talk and share. And I loved that. And yes, exactly. And so then I did a panel with Luann Nygaard at Surya one time, a panel discussion about processes. And I had been on her show once before and we had got a great response. And so went to the panel at Surya and they had to like block the doors off. It was, I should share a picture with you. It was the most people I've ever seen in Surya before. And it was incredible. It was the most amazing, fun experience. And all I did was really just share my journey, kind of like I'm doing this with you today. And so at that night I was sitting with Luann and I just thought, oh my gosh, like I really want to do more of this. Like I really loved that. And so we talked about getting me into some coaching opportunities and some mentor and some teaching. And that's really where I light up, is when my teaching background comes together with my design side. And I also just get to share the experiences I've had and help people skip a lot of them because they weren't all great. But those lessons, you know, I wouldn't change a thing because it's those impactful lessons that helped me learn the most. But I think just feeling the support from the community and knowing that I could contribute to that was enough. It was super exciting.
That's so amazing. And I know part of the reason why I asked that question, and I actually just finished developing an entire presentation for an interior design business summit that I'm presenting at in Dallas. I lead tomorrow, actually. But when this episode comes out, it will have already happened. And I talk about guiding designers to find more room within their lane to give back in some way and to make it as fulfilling for themselves as possible. And I know that time is always a factor, like, well, I don't have time for that. Where am I going to find time for that? But I believe that when it's right, like in your heart and your gut, that the time just presents itself. So I think it's so cool that you guys just sat down and had a conversation, not about time, but about like, how can we do this and how can we share with more people? I think that's so awesome.
Yeah. And that night her platform, Luann University, was born. And we really, I was one of the first to teach, and it was just an idea, and it's doing well. So, and I'm so happy to be a part of that, and also offering one-on-one for, you know, other designers like you do that just, you know, need you. And I feel like there's so many different personality types and different ways to run your businesses that we need a multitude of coaches and mentors out there so that everyone can find someone they align with and that kind of is their person. You know, it's kind of like your design business soulmate.
Exactly. And they're out there. They're out there.
They are. We need an app for that.
Sarah, I'm dying to ask you our signature questions, starting with what would you say this your secret to survival is so far in this business of design?
Yeah, I feel like I just have never been afraid to try. Never been afraid to fail. Never really given up. So even when it was really hard, I didn't give up. I also think remembering to have empathy. Your clients sometimes ask questions. They're allowed to ask questions. They're not
hostages.
They're not, no. and they're allowed, and they don't know. And we get quick to get super annoyed at their questions, and they're allowed. That's why we're here. And I often see people get defensive. So I think just having empathy and realizing that there's things we don't know how to do. If we asked a simple question and somebody got mad, it wouldn't feel good either. And then lastly, just, you know, not forgetting this is a business and we need to make money, and, you know, making that a high priority goal as well. You know, I started this out of passion, and it is still a very profitable business, you know, several years in. And that is a huge goal. That's why I miss some activities with my family. That's why, you know, I'm up until all hours of the night, is because it needs to be successful on all fronts.
Excellent. Excellent. And what would you say, and I know it's going to be hard to pick just one, but what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then when you started your design business?
I don't know. There's so much I've learned. I think I just wish I knew that it was going to be like, I was going to grow so much. You know, I didn't know the journey I was on. I think I thought it would be a little smoother or something. I don't know. And I wish maybe I could have geared up for it a little bit emotionally or mentally. It took me a while to, you know, get thick skin and to really build up my confidence. But I wish I knew that it'd be so fun. I wish I knew that I was making the right choice, because all along I was nervous, you know, as everybody is in the beginning of, am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing this? Will this be worth it? And if I knew then, like, yes, just keep going, then I think that would have been a little bit more reassuring. But
I remember that weekly, if not more. What am I doing? Why am I doing this?
Yeah. My husband's like, wait, what just happened? I'm like, oh yeah, I think it's part of it. I think this is fine.
It'll all work out. I'm pretty sure.
yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. And how would you say you pay it forward in the design community? And we could probably make another whole episode about that, because I know how much you give back, but what are some key ways that you pay it forward in the design community?
I will often do like Instagram stories, kind of sharing our whole process from start to finish. And while I'm doing them, I have a pretty decent designer following too on my Instagram. So I'll talk to designers and I'll talk to clients, you know, as I'm navigating through. And so when I meet somebody who reaches out and they're like, oh, your story resonated with me, or like, I heard you on a podcast before, you know, it's great, I'd like to connect with you, I'll direct them to kind of some freebies that I put out there, just simply to give people a high level of if they're on the right track or not. You know, I just remember when I was building my process, I was like, what do you mean people are selling furniture? You know, I didn't know about the trade world. I didn't know about, you know, and I find that with a lot of designers, they go all through retail, and that is one way to do it, but it's really hard to scale a model like that. So I think, you know, just being able to watch and see other designers explain how they do what they do and being a resource. There's rarely a time someone messages me where I don't, you know, actually write back with my voice. I'll send them a voice message back and say, oh, well, here's what I would do, or, you know, here's how we do it. And I love being able to share and help people grow.
I appreciate your quickness at responding. I think you were actually in High Point when I reached out to you.
And yes.
God bless you. You still responded to me very quickly and said, I'll be back in my office shortly and I'll actually talk to you. But thank you so much for responding and acknowledging my message to participate on the podcast, because I really appreciate it. I think that so many design professionals are going to benefit so much on what we just talked about. There's so many great little nuggets, not just great one-liners that we're going to make caps and t-shirts out of, but just, you know, little basic things that will really have a huge impact in people's businesses. And I think anyone that is in the process of refining their business model and creating processes and procedures probably just learned at least a half a dozen, if not more, things. So I really appreciate your willingness to come on and share. How can we find you online? What is your website? What is your Instagram handle? Just so that we can all stay in touch.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the opportunity, Rick. It's been so great chatting with you and getting to know you. I hang out on Instagram a lot, and my handle is at Sarah Lynn Brennan. There is no H in Sarah or Lynn, or there's no E in Lynn either. So it's just SarahLynnBrennan. And my website is SarahLynnBrennan.com. That's where you'll find my services page. All of our services are listed with pricing. So you can check that out. And I also have all the coaching opportunities up there as well with pricing. You can actually book and schedule everything straight from the website. Like I said, I want everybody to know, you know, what we offer. No secrets, no surprises. I like in business for it to be very straightforward. So it's all out there. I collaborate with Luann Nigara on Luann University as well. And I teach a course there, and hope to be having a heavier hand in the development of that platform as well.
And that session, the Luann University, let's talk about that for a second. That's in play right now. So as we speak, it just started a couple of weeks ago, right? So by the time this podcast comes out, you'll be halfway through, but there'll be information on how to sign up for the next round.
Absolutely. Yep. They run on semesters basically. So there's usually a winter and a spring, sometimes a summer, sometimes a fall, just depending on which courses, but you'll find a multitude of, you know, I run a process course, but there's bookkeeping, there's accounting, there's design build, there's all kinds of classes. And that's all been developed out of need from designers that have come to her and me and anyone else on the platform and said, hey, I need this. And so she's found the pros and built around that.
Yeah, I think it's a great program. I might actually sign up for one of those courses myself, the Designer CPA. I'm a fan of the Designer CPA.
Oh, yes, he's wonderful.
He's awesome.
Love him.
Great. Well, Sarah, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I hope that this could be a reoccurring theme. I would love to have you on again. I feel like we've just barely scratched the surface, but I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Yes, Rick, absolutely. I'd love to chat. You know my love language now, so anytime.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. This episode should have started with some sort of disclaimer advising you to be in a place where you could take notes, because Sarah dropped so many nuggets of wisdom. Her simple approach to developing processes for her business, and more importantly, her practice of communicating that process to her clients, was clearly a game changer for her, and could be for you too. I had so many takeaways from our conversation, particularly her practice of leveraging relations with industry partners and other service providers to increase efficiency within her operation. Maximizing your relationship with vendors and service providers makes you a better resource to your clients and frees up valuable time for you to do what you do best, design. I'm also a big fan of her perspective on adding value to every client interaction to help reinforce what Sarah and her design team bring to the table. Your clients only know as much as you show them and tell them, so always demonstrate value to show them that they've made the right decision by partnering with you. As you can imagine, I really appreciate her dedication to the design community and her willingness to share information through her own coaching services, as well as her partnership with Luann Nigara. Sarah is a great example of the many design professionals out there who really enjoy being of service to the design community by sharing their experiences and lessons. Thank you, Sarah, for contributing to the podcast and paying it forward. We appreciate you. If you love this podcast episode, please share with a friend or colleague. If you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. That really helps boost our visibility on the platform to reach more design professionals just like you. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.